What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a couple of comic books that have come out today, and then we review them, and then you listen to those reviews, and then you decide whether you want to buy the comic books or not. That's how the economy works.
Wow. It's the economy, stupid. That's the instruction manual for our podcast.
There you go.
Finally, however many episodes deep.
Yes, there you go. Go back, listen to this episode first. Now go back to the first episode and follow along.
Oh, they were reviewing them. It wasn't nonsense.
I was listening to this for no reason. All right, let's jump into it. First one we're going to talk about from Marvel Comics, War of the Realms, number two. This is by Jason Aaron and Russell Dodderman. This is continuing the big invasion of Earth by Malekith. He has taken over 8 of the 9 realms, and now they are invading Midgard, a.k.a. Earth, right in Times Square. We've seen one spinoff of the book so far where it started to spill out into other areas, but this is the big week really kicking it off. All of the Marvel heroes versus Malekith and his army. Things go bad real quick. How'd you feel about the second issue?
They fucked up.
What?
Doctor Strange fucked up, and we lost some pretty important people.
Oh, are you okay? Are you going to cry right now?
Just saying, mistakes were made.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm just going to throw it out there beyond that, and I agree with you. Certainly some mistakes were made. I feel like there was one page that Pete might have liked
my God.
A little bit.
I have it open right now.
Oh, do you?
Of course
it
you
was
do.
The greatest, the Wolverine Punisher hanging out, just chatting. Just catching up on old times.
You know, it's funny. When I read that page, I was like, ugh, Pete's going to like this so much. I don't like it.
Really?
You know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's too right for him. You know what I mean?
It's too much in his wheelhouse.
Exactly. It was like, it's just like, oh, it burns.
What does Wolverine say when Punisher's like, hey, I thought you were dead? He's like, nah, just drunk or yep. something.
Yeah,
like,
he does. He says almost
exactly. Just really drunk for a long time.
I was like, what?
How yeah. things been with you, Frank? I'm reloaded. Right, good catching up. It touches my heart.
Let me ask
I
you
almost
a question.
Cried.
The Punisher, though, he punishes people for crimes, and Wolverine is lying there. Is that going to be an issue for Wolverine going forward?
Nope. They He's have lying. A relationship, a friendship so deep.
That they can lie to each other.
That they have understanding. No, they're not lying. They're having some fun.
Is lying a crime?
Lying is not a crime.
Okay.
Especially when it's like a white lie. You know, doing something. Plus,
great.
It's just
then
two
I'm
friends.
Free to go.
Yeah, it's just two friends having
I rest
fun.
My case.
This issue was very good. One of my trepidations with the last one was I wasn't sure how this was going to continue to spill out.
We need to back up and deal with this a little bit more before we move on.
No, we definitely don't.
No. I just want to talk about how I liked how the bad guys were talking about like how they have a problem with lead, and there's one guy
iron.
Who just just doesn't seem to run out, and then they cut to the Punisher just shooting people. Oh, it was just so beautiful.
Do you know that the Punisher had iron bullets instead of lead?
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew that?
Yeah, because why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he?
So you say he has like a different metals on his wall. He's I think I'll do the silver bullets this eve in case I encounter a werewolf.
Well, when you're in the Marvel Universe, you've got to have different kinds of bullets for different
adamantium.
Know, yeah, different stuff. Yeah.
Sure. And as we all know, the Punisher's power is that he's a human being with a lot of guns. So, of course, he'll never run out of bullets.
Yeah.
I guess we've covered that one panel pretty well.
Yeah,
should
yeah,
we talk about the rest of it?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I liked this issue.
Yes.
This
Fantastic.
Sold me on the event a lot more even than the first issue, which granted, good writing in the first issue, great art in the first issue, but this really showed how this is going to affect the entire Marvel Universe because, as Justin mentioned, they lose. They don't exactly lose, but they certainly have to retreat
pretty
badly at the end of this issue.
They take some L's with some particular characters who we like in general. And I think, but I agree with you. It is a good, this definitely felt more like I see this is the event as opposed to last year. I was like, wait, what's happening? Loki died and Thor is sort of not around. But this definitely felt like, but I would also say this felt like more like issue 5 of an event.
Yeah.
And this is only
and this is only 2 of the first act of War of the Realms, so there's plenty more to come. I'm excited to see where they take this. I mean, Jason Aaron has been planning this for years, so clearly he isn't like just tossing aside the story here. He knows where this is going. He is a reliable storyteller. I'm excited to see what happens.
And he's such a mastery of the characters where he can really pinpoint their voices quickly and
absolutely.
Have them in small batches.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Except for the Wolverine, who he sort of says is drunk.
Dude, fuck you.
Yeah, and makes him lie, which is going to be a really big deal with the Punisher going forward.
Oh, my God.
I thought he had a healing factor, not a lying factor.
Don't you ruin this for me, you assholes. No, I agree. This really was an amazing issue. But I also like the small moments that a lot of the characters were having to kind of touch on what Justin was saying, especially the Captain America moment where he was like, what would Thor do? And he takes out one of the Frost Giants. I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah.
I just love how throughout the action, we're still getting so much information about what's going on. And even the bad guys who are like, oh, I'm so glad I saved this realm for last, you know, just really the stakes are just so intense. And it's such a fun way to start a book in this giant battle.
Yeah. Moving on to one of the nicest issues of the week from DC Comics, Batman number 69. Now, this is finally wrapping up the Nightmare storyline that we've been following for a while. Yeah. A lot of stuff is revealed here, big stuff about what has been going on behind the scenes. Batman has been going through various, as the title indicates, nightmares, fighting through them, aware that something is wrong, aware that something is going on with him, but he's not 100% sure what it is. And it's mostly revealed this issue. Yeah. We certainly find out a lot more about what's been going on behind the scenes. Pete, you raised your hand. You have a question. What's going on?
I just want to just point out real quickly, it's Nightmares with a K.
It's K-Nightmares.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So that's like K-9. The cop movie.
It could be the dog. Cop movie. K ketamine. Batman's promoting a horse tranquilizer on the side.
That could be what's going on. So he's actually, spoiler, what's going on is that he was captured by his dad, Thomas Wayne, from the alternate Flashpoint universe, has come into the US universe, has captured him, is working with Bane to take down Batman for very different reasons. And the issue jumps between Batman's last nightmare, which is him talking to Catwoman trying to figure out how to work himself out of the nightmare while Bane and Thomas Wayne fight. Bane is totally nude the entire issue.
That's an issue where I was like, I wanted to see Thomas Wayne be like,
why do we keep going back to that?
What?
This fight scene where Bane is naked.
Because I wanted Thomas Wayne to be like, come on, man, put on some shorts.
Yeah, right. Like, I'll give you a minute, put on some shorts.
You got venom all in your body. It's making you really veiny, especially now you're...
What are you talking about? Where is he?
Just saying, he needs to put on, if you understand how venom works, he needs to put on some shorts.
Right.
It's what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
That's just a simple incontinuity fact about the drug.
As Batman is battling his way out, Thomas Wayne and Bane are essentially fighting for his soul.
You
but
said
not
Vane
a-
or Bane? So Bane. Sorry.
Are fighting for his soul. Not in a good way, though. Usually it's like, I'm going to protect this person, and the other person's like, I'm going to destroy this person. They both kind of want to destroy him.
Oh, yeah. They and just have separate plans.
And they're both pretty... They both are winning at different points.
Yes.
So I liked... I thought this... A lot of people went down on this Nightmares story arc, because it's like, you don't quite know what's going on. It's a bit wandering. But I got to say, I thought it was great. And the way it comes together at this issue, emotionally, specifically for the Batman-Catwoman thing, even though it's all happening in Batman's brain, it still was really good. Yeah. And really revelatory about what Batman thinks and, more importantly, feels.
Yeah. Ooh. Also, what I really liked was Catwoman, even though it's in Batman's mind, felt so real. Like, he was like, dance with me. And she was like, no. You have to ask for my permission to dance. Yeah. And that was just such a small but huge moment. I really liked
it. Now, who did the art for this issue? I'm completely blanking. But it is the layouts in particular are gorgeous as they go through, once again, the history of Batman and Catwoman in different costumes, in different relationships.
Paquette?
Oh, Yannick Paquette. Yes, thank you. His work is always incredible, and his work on this issue is fantastic, even though we don't get to see Bane's little Bane, if you know what I mean.
What'd you say?
God. What? Huh?
You can draw
it in. But the whole music that was kind of dancing with them throughout their scenes was really just nice. It has great continuity for the whole kind of like... when they proposed and the big spreads and the splash pages in the night sky. It was kind of really cool the way they're kind of keeping this going throughout.
What did you think? Does Batman not love Catwoman?
Oh, he loves her.
Really? Even though that's the whole point of the issue is her saying, your real fear, your real weakness, the reason it didn't work out is you don't love me.
Yeah, but that's just kind of his subconscious fighting against it. His love is real.
Yeah, I think he loves her.
Yeah.
I think he's afraid that he doesn't love her enough and that he's going to lose her.
And
like
that
he
gives
lost
him
everybody
power
else.
To escape.
Yeah, exactly. But great issue. Absolutely fantastic. Really enjoying this arc a lot. Let's move on to a very advanced review from Valiant Comics. This is coming out June 24th. Psylords, number one. This is a old, very old property written by Fran Van Lente, good friend of the show.
Yes,
this
dude,
is
fantastic.
Bananas. It just kind of throws you in the
so
middle.
So crazy, nonstop crazy.
Yeah, throws you in the middle of the thing. If you don't know what the characters are, you have to play a lot of catch-up. But it's kind of like The Prisoner. It reminded me a little bit of the Black Bolt series from Saladin Ahmed from Marvel a little bit, where they're trapped in some sort of prison. And they don't know what's going on. They don't have any of their memory. They're kind of figuring it out. But they all have these different powers and are going to have to work their way out of it somewhere. I thought I had missed like five pages at the beginning or something. So just be prepared for that going in. But I enjoyed it by the end.
Like,
yeah,
it, felt
I think
like
it,
classic, sort of, it felt like a classic, it felt like a comic from like the 70s or 80s, mm-hmm. Where it's like it's a little bit dense and it's a little bit like you keep up with us. We don't keep up with you. If you go along for the ride, I think it does end up being like a fun team up book of people figuring their shit out.
It reminded me of Bitch Planet a little bit, the way it kind of started in the middle of action and you're trying to catch up with the players.
It's definitely a very different thing for Fred Van Lente, who usually, I mean, he's a little better known for cheekier, funnier things, while still weaving the emotion in. This is a little more straight sci-fi. But I liked it. I think Valiant does a good job. I'm not sure how it connects to the overall universe yet.
Yes.
But I'm curious to check out a second issue.
Also, the art was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It kind of jumped back and forth a little bit of style depending on the panel. And it was just, it took me a little bit to get into, but once I did, I really loved it.
Yeah.
Cool. Next advance review to jump over to Archie Comics. Archie number 704. This is coming out May 8th. And this is the end of the first arc on the new Archie by Nick Spencer. Archie has been dating Sabrina. Pete, I know you're not a big fan of these Archie comics. But this one, without getting into spoilers, definitely the most Riverdale issue so far.
Yeah.
Like straight up. And I'm really curious to see where they're going to take this going forward.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Archie Sabrina is a great relation.
Oh, yeah.
That's on board.
A bunch of like dogs just facing forward, ready to take on whatever. But at least in the comic book, Sabrina is a little bit smarter and a little spoiler, but there's a very fun line where Sabrina looks at Archie's like, oh, you're so dumb. Oh, yeah, my sweet dumb Archie.
Yes, yes.
But he knows
so
that.
So satisfying.
He knows that. It's great. I like the relationship a lot.
Pete, did this book put a spell on you?
Well, I would like to point out, I wasn't shaking my head at the fact that it was an Archie comic we were reviewing. I was shaking my head at Nick Spencer, who has recently ripped out my heart. But
that was a while ago.
It was.
You've been reading Spider-Man. He's been doing that. And you like that.
Well, I'm reading it with trepidation.
With
trepidation.
One eye open.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Which is a bad way to read
it. It's harder to enjoy. Yes. Well, plus, you're going to get dizzy.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him. But this comic was fantastic. I really thought it did a great job of like capturing Riverdale in a fun way. I also really felt like Veronica, different panels, really looked like the actress who plays Veronica, which was great.
I thought it was weird that Cheryl works for Hydra, though, that they revealed at the
that
end.
That was
end
crazy, when she says, Hail Hydra?
Yeah, and that's crazy.
That's not cool, dude. Yeah. That's not cool.
You can't trust him.
One thing I will say about this issue, I was bummed that there wasn't more time spent on it, because the concept of the issue is that this whole Bachelor thing has been set up with Archie, and they do it done in one, which is very classic Archie, but... Yeah. It's so much fun. I'd almost want to see that as its own spin-off comic.
Yeah, I wanted to see all of the characters in it.
Yeah.
That would have been very fun.
But I really like the team-up of Archie and Sabrina.
Yeah, and after this, I mean, that's not going to come out until June, but after this, the title is changing over to Archie and Sabrina. So it's definitely long-term.
That's like marriage.
Does that hurt you a little bit?
That's marriage. Why?
Because you're such a, to you, Archie has to either be dating Betty or Veronica.
That's not true. I think Archie and Sabrina is great.
Huh.
My horizons are endless.
Yeah. As long as Archie is dating somebody, as long as he's not single, who cares?
He cannot be single.
Jesus Christ.
He
should be single.
Why?
He needs to figure some stuff out. He needs to figure some stuff out.
He's got it pretty well figured out. He's a football-playing musician who also likes boxing and dating. That's a simple man.
Yeah, just a simple old guy. Moving over to another DC comic, Justice League number 22. There's another issue jumping over to the Legion of Doom, kind of.
I would argue that's not what happens here.
No, not at all. I mean, ostensibly every, I believe it's five issues, they jump over to Legion of Doom. Here's a short breakdown of what's going on in Justice League.
Great.
So
they freed a being called Perpetua, who is the creator of the multiverse from behind the Source Wall. As we find out this issue, we kind of knew this already, but they do a much better job of explaining it this issue. She created three beings, the Monitor, the Anti-Monitor, and the World Forger. Who were, over the course of this issue, they explain, are in charge of the three parts of creation. They explain the first crisis in the DC Universe, how that came about, how the Source Wall was created, all of these things. This, like, broke my brain a little bit, this issue, just because it completely redefines the entire history of the DC Universe.
Let me throw this out. This is the definitive take on what this issue is. This is the Silmarillion for the DC Universe.
Ooh.
That's what
that's
this
pretty
is.
Good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I don't know
if you know
means.
What that is. It's part of the Lord of the Rings oeuvre. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the Lord of the Rings and all that. Then he wrote this sort of deep, dense, mythological dive into the world that set up the Lord of the Rings world. And that's what this is for the DC Universe. It's like this heavy shit that's all about creation and how these touchstones, mythological touchstones, created the history that we all know. But now we see the deep, long, universal precedent that got it there.
I was very happy that this finally got explained to me. Because that shit has always just kind of been insane to me. So it was nice that we got an issue that kind of really broke it down.
Well, this, I think it's crazy. Like, it's absolutely insane to me that the amount of stuff that they explained and talked about in this issue, just from a global perspective of DC Comics from the beginning of their creation until now, that they've always added layers and tweaked things and always had recurring motifs like hands coming out, and that's part of the creation of the universe. Like, that's a pretty classic DC image that they've gone back to time and again in different ways. Here they redefine it, but things like the Source Wall that have been around, created by Jack Kirby and never really explained, never really dealt with, adding in more recent innovations like the Dark Multiverse and the Anti-Monitor and the Monitor and the World Forge and Barbatos and all of these other things.
And Batmite.
And Batmite comes in very briefly at one point, though not quite as important. It's that they are attempting this. I was reading it, like, to your point, I think you have to read it almost in a very analytical way where you think of, okay, what... Clearly, this is not what they meant from the beginning, because they've sort of created this ongoing 75, 80-year-long story as they've been going along. But what does this mean for the stories going forward? Now that they've firmed this in, somebody is going to redefine it in some way again 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
But that's bananas in kind of its own way, because they've put such a definitive stamp on it with one issue of Justice League.
Yeah. It's not even like a number one or like a special issue. It's just like Justice League 22.
Yeah, it's great.
That's life.
Yeah. How do you liked it though, or what'd you guys?
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I thought it was very enjoyable. I was very happy that they kind of slowed things down and really kind of spelled it out. Really helped me.
Cool. Nice. Moving on to a Boom Studios book, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 4. Now, we should mention before we get into this, we read a press preview copy, and they redacted the last page of the issue. We can tell you what's coming in the last page of this issue, which is Angel, which is supposed to be a huge surprise, but they announced last week that they're spinning off a Angel number 0 that they're dropping digitally starting today when you guys are listening to the podcast. So that's a surprise there. We didn't get to see that page, so this is not a full review of the book.
Redacted.
I know. Wow. But what did you think about this? How did you guys feel about this issue?
It was upsetting to get to the last page and then see the classified and then all black.
Okay.
But they classified that to protect you.
Right. And that's also not an experience that anybody else is going to have on the comic book stand. So otherwise, what did you think about the book?
I was pissed about the last page.
and I was pissed about the love page.
Oh, this guy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
Real quick, can I turn to a non-crazy person? What did you think about it, Justin?
This is fun. As we've been reviewing each of these issues, I've been sort of... it's a little bit... It takes me out of the story that we know so much about these characters, but they don't know anything mm-hmm. about each other.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're not doing different takes on the characters. They're doing the same takes, and it just happens that we know more about them. So that's always, from a reading, being a reader and knowing more about the characters that you're reading about is always a tricky place, I feel like. So I've been a little cautious with that. But otherwise, I do think this is a fun story, and it does feel like entering the Buffyverse after it went so crazy at the end of the last run is fun to be this more simple storytelling that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think it nails the voices of the characters regardless. It's certainly, I've been having... This problem is the wrong word, but the thing that's been hanging me up is, to your point, knowing how these character stories are supposed to go, that they're all tweaked. Like 15% is giving it's a hard time to kind of wrap my brain around. Okay, this is how this is supposed to be happening, but nope, this is happening another way. But I really like what they're doing with Willow a lot. I think they did a good job capturing Xander in this issue. I like Drew and Spike. It's fun to spend time with these characters again in a new, fresh way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little frustrating for me just because I don't know.
The last page says classified.
I wasn't going to say that, guys.
Jesus, come on.
I was just going to say I don't know so much about these characters, so they're just kind of like talking, and it's kind of like, oh, if you knew more about these characters, you would think this is more interesting than it is. But it's just like this blonde lady complaining how she didn't go to prom. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, suck it up. I don't know what to tell you.
A little bit of a spoiler. That's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, yeah. I know who she is.
Then what did...
I was just, you know, just saying that, like, it's a little like, if you don't know all the continuity, it's not as enjoyable to read, I find.
Okay.
Was my point. So
your thing is, we know too much continuity, it's a little tough for us to read. You don't know enough continuity, so it's tough for you to read.
Right. Wow. And also, it was bullshit that they took away the last page.
Jesus Christ, Pete. All right, let's move on to something else. This is from Marvel Comics West Coast Avengers number 10. This is sadly the last issue of the book. Following this team, it was set up as a reality show, gone horribly wrong, basically.
Yeah.
Bunch of quirky characters in there, two Hawkeyes, Gwenpool, Quentin Quire, a couple of others. But this is bringing everything to a close. I'm really sad to see this book go.
Me too. I read every issue of this book. I liked it a lot. It is it feels like a random mix of characters, but they played off each other so well. It felt like old school New Warriors from back mm-hmm. in like the 90s in a good way. And I liked in the back page, Kelly Thompson's like, honestly, I wish I was doing more of this. And I much prefer that when people are like, wow, I really did everything I wanted to do in these four issues I wrote. So I appreciate that, and I love this book.
Yeah. I wasn't as a huge fan, but this last issue here was phenomenal. And I'm like, oh, I get what you guys were talking about. This is very enjoyable. I also not a huge fan of Gwenpool, but pairing her with this like a little adorable shark thing, I love the two of them together.
Yeah, there's a land shark, which they introduced in the first issue. They got a baby land shark that follows them around. He's very cute.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that clearly they had enough time to know that this was the last issue and it was canceled because they play on that in the whole reality show format. And even though it's sad to see it go, it is a fun way to end it. And I think most, if not all, of these characters are going to go forward in the Marvel Universe. So it's not the last that we've seen of them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Next one to talk about, this is from Dark Horse Comics out May 1st, Beasts of Burden, The Presence of Others, number one. This is by Evan Dorkin and Jill Thompson. Pete, I know this is one of your favorite series. So
you love these cute little animals.
Well, first off, the art by Jill Thompson, every page is just a painting. It is just like old school water colors. It is so beautiful and fantastic. And then you kind of have these whodunit kind of ghost mystery type things. It's just so creative, so enjoyable. And here we kind of have, normally the Beast of Burns is just all animals solving these crimes, but we kind of bring humans into the mix. And I feel like it was done in such a cool way where it wasn't just humans being like, what, talking dogs? You have these humans who are used to supernatural and weird stuff. So I think it went really well. I love this book. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I like this book. The animals and the way that they solve mysteries.
Fuck you, man.
What are you talking about?
You're such a dick.
I do like the way it always takes a dark turn. I feel like these stories really play against the fact that it's like these pretty cute animals having conversations like, hey, knock it off, you pug.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, shit, there's a zombie dragging him into hell.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
As Pete mentioned, I mean, I'm just going to reiterate what he said, but Jill Thompson's art is one of the big draws here. The characters are great. Even if you've never followed them, it is a bunch of cute animals solving horrible supernatural mysteries, so you can jump right in with this issue and you don't need to know any of the continuity or anything about the town that they live in. But if you have a chance, go back and check out the rest of the series that they've done, because they're wonderful.
Now, I don't know if you guys have this fear, but living in New York City, I've always had this fear of like a giant rat king that is like running the underground. And
is that a human that's in control of rats, or a big rat?
No, like we saw. Did you read this fucking comic?
Yes, I did.
So a giant rat.
I'm trying to get into your fears.
Yeah, that's why whenever I see a rat on the subway, I throw out all my money just in case.
Yeah, that's smart.
A tithe for the rat king, animal. Please don't kill your faithful servant, Alex Albin.
Please give my best to the rat king. Here's a slice of pizza.
Yeah, Pizza Rat was dragging a Zalbin tithe to the Rat King.
All right. Next thing to talk about, Image Comics Little Bird number 2. We talked about the first issue of
this. Yeah, we did.
And absolutely loved it. Yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous art. About a post-apocalyptic world where a girl named Little Bird is searching for a mythical hero named the Axe. She finds him, but it seemed like she died the last issue. Turns out not quite dead yet, as it seems, as we find issue. We get more explanation of the world. It gets very religious real quick.
Yes, yes. Who knew
but
that?
But I still loved it. It's still gorgeous. The layouts are amazing.
So good in this. It's
absolutely
just
fantastic.
Epic. It feels like, reminds me of Dune for some reason, the movie Dune, mm-hmm. like the weird
all
sort
the
of
crotch grabbing.
What?
All the crotch grabbing reminds you of Dune?
Does that happen in Dune?
I don't know. It doesn't.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What crotch grabbing?
In this book, there was some crotch grabbing.
There's a little bit of crotch grabbing.
Is there?
Yeah, the priest grabs that dude's crotch and is like, yo, you do what I want.
I guess I feel like I didn't follow focus too much on that particular part.
Yeah,
on the book.
But now
because
there's
a lot more going on.
Now that we've covered that, one panel, I guess we can move on and talk about the rest of the book.
By the way, when he was grabbing the crotch, how veiny he was?
It didn't show.
Oh, okay.
The hand, no veins?
No.
I beg to differ. 3 veins up for this one.
Oh my god. Well, if I can change gears a little bit.
Nope.
Good
luck.
So we have this story about this little girl, and what's great is we're kind of learning along with her, so it kind of makes it easier to follow. But each issue just kind of keeps widening this world that we think we understand. The art alone is worth picking this
very
up.
Very good art.
Image is just killing it with their books. Every time I see a new Image book, I want to check it out. They do such a great job of teaming artists and writers and creating such a fun, different world.
Well, a lot of the time, the artists and writers are teaming themselves, and then they're submitting the stuff.
Whatever, dude. All right. I don't know how it fucking works behind the scenes, Mr.
Thanks.
Cool Guy.
Thanks for mentioning it, then.
Fucking, I know how comics work. Oh, great. I feel like all the mystery and magic away.
Are you mad at him or are you mad at yourself? It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell at any time.
Yeah. Last one to talk about from DC Comics, Naomi number 4. This is following a big mystery in the DC universe from Brian Michael Bendis. We've been loving this title. Feels like a throwback to his Ultimate Spider-Man days, to other young characters like that. This is a girl who sees Superman and ends up finding there's something a little weird and special about herself, potentially, as well as her family. This issue, we get some answers, but not all answers. Last issue, her adopted father revealed himself as from Ron?
Yeah.
I never know how to pronounce that.
I always say Ran.
Ran? Okay. Planet where Adam Strange comes from. Yeah. So he's one of those guys, space helmet guys.
One half of the Ran Thanagar War.
Yes.
A lot of jetpacks.
And we get a lot of flashbacks and information about that, but that's still only the beginning of the mystery. As we're going forward, man, I'm still loving this book.
Honestly, this is my favorite book that Bendis is doing and has done at DC. I feel like some of his other Superman stuff feels a little stilted, while this feels like right in line with him and does feel like just like a sort of a spiritual partner to the Ultimate Spider-Man run. Really great.
And what's interesting is like This is issue 4, and we're now just starting to get some answers about her origin. Just the way the storytelling works and the way they're kind of having all these events unravel around the origin is really interesting and really well done. A lot of amazing panel layouts.
Great art, too. Yeah. It's like almost photorealistic. It's so well drawn and so clean.
And the sense that I'm getting starting, not starting with this issue, but really crystallized as of this issue, is this is Bendis' way of touring the DC universe, of going around, showing the different weird parts, more interesting parts. Certainly, a spoiler here, but it seems like there's getting into some sort of tease that she's somehow connected to a White Lantern or something like that at the end of the issue. So I think we're going to be getting a little bit of the Green Lantern stuff, space stuff as we're going forward. I think that's great. I love that. I love him saying, okay, I'm here. I'm doing the Superman stuff. I have that corner of the universe on lock. I'm exploring that over there. But let me see what I can play with. Let me explore all of the toys. Yeah. I'm happy to go along with the ride.
It feels fun.
Yeah, it does.
If you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every
Mr. Rat King, a podcast for you in your tithe from Alexander Zelvin.
Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll do a live podcast for you.
We're trying to elevate ourselves, plus up a little bit, so we're adding a light British accent every now and then.
Yeah, that's why we talked about Bane's veiny cock so much this episode.
Oh, my God. You're such
classing it up.
Yes. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook. So you can hear about all the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you at the comic book shop with some iron bullets.